Welcome to Gaming CD on a Monday morning, which happens to be Shunetra's favorite morning.
And also, I don't know, edition number 178 under lockdown, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. So, how are you doing?
Ugh. Next question, please.
All right.
Whenever someone asks me, how are you doing? What's been up? I'm like, what? What?
But have you been regular with your therapy? And because I was holding it off for the longest time, and I was thinking let things get back on, because I'd rather have like a face to face. And then it was getting quite bad, and then I realized, fuck this shit. This is the new normal, and I guess this is therapy in the new normal. And I booked an appointment last week, and I'm so much better for it, you know?
So
tell me, I've
had to get in touch with my therapist because I finally snapped. Because I hate to say this, but I felt like, yeah, sure, everybody's going through this, but I got served a little more post coronavirus than other people. Okay, that's a terrible thing to say for other people to compare. But again, with Squid falling ill, me losing both my jobs, this constant anxiety that my parents are old and stuck in Pune, and some medical emergency might happen right now, you know, terrifying. But my biggest anxiety has been an old psychosomatic one, which has resurfaced, which is, I keep thinking I'm about to have a heart attack. And sometimes I play it up so much that it started becoming an anxiety attack, where I suddenly freeze, I start sweating, my fucking heart is literally thumping against my rib cage. You know what I mean? So that started happening. So I got in touch with my therapist. But then I fell in a containment zone. So even though I have the option, but I just don't want to deal with cops. You know what I mean? Because
what about online sessions?
I don't know if I can do online. I don't. Yeah, Zoom call is the most I do.
I know, but again, you know, I bit the bullet. And honestly, what's more important, adapting or letting your
mind... So I've given myself till next week. Till next week to just wait for this containment. Because trust me trying to get my sick cat out is such a nightmare that I can just imagine if I just show up at the barricade and be like, "Mereko jaane, mereko doctor ke paas jaane ka hai," which is, by the way, everybody who stands in that line's excuse. I don't want to go through that at all. I might as well just like keep my sanity a little intact. And it's getting terrible because...
And that's what I mean. I realize that it's enough is enough. If this is... I mean, everyone...
Can you elaborate though when you say like, what are you feeling? At what point do you go like, I need to call my therapist?
No, because it's what's more important. Me feeling like this session needs to be an ideal version of what I think it needs to be, or... do I take the help? Taking money. You've fallen down the road. You've skinned your knee. Would you rather wait for your best friend to help you, or would you rather wait for a person who is wearing Crocs to help you?
I would wait for Shaktiman.
Because, you know, people who wear Crocs, I have seen.
Who would you rather?
So here's the thing. I would wait. I would have thought about waiting for my friend, but like, isn't it just smarter to, you know, take the help you have at hand and probably.
So my help at hand is my medication. I've been doing this for 12 years now. Things happen, things get rocky. I have my... So if I'm suddenly at 3... Can I tell you something? The other day, I thought I was getting a heart attack because I couldn't remember a certain word. So it's become that imminent. Like, my anxiety has become that... Like, suddenly, a very basic word. It's not like I was trying to remember extrapolate or some word like that. You know what I mean? I was just trying to remember a basic word like between. And I forgot a basic word like between. And I was like, wait, I got stuck. And suddenly, I just broke into a sweat. So, long story short, I have messaged my therapist. He's like, if you do need medication, just go to, if you don't want to come see me at least. And my therapist is doing face-to-face. Huh? He's amazing like that. What is he saying? He's like, if you don't want to face-to-face, you can just call me from the chemist. And there's one particular chemist I have to go to for him. And he'll always like sort me out like that.
Yeah, I actually depend on, the conversations. Conversation. And, working things out. A little more than, I'm off meds, so I want to keep it that way. And I was put on meds again a couple of weeks back when things were flaring. And again, it's weaned off now in a month. So I like being off meds. I like feeling like I have a little more control over, not that I have any, problem with having meds and stuff, but yeah, so I think this was one of the best decisions I've taken under the lockdown, because that conversation really changed my perspective. Because really, you really need someone sometimes to give you the perspective, that it's okay to feel shit. And then one of the things that which I want to kind of talk about today, one of the things that she told me, like asked me, was, you live alone, you're a very active, usually have a very active sexual life. What's been happening there? I'm hoping that you are also making sure that pleasure is at hand. And I was like, it's not the real thing, but
it's not.
But yeah, like, we're like, whatever, like take what's available, Yeah. So, I guess
what's available? I'm inquisitive. Yeah. Apart from your hand, what's available?
Literally nothing is available. Nothing is. Like in my apartment, people aren't being like, it's so strict. People aren't being allowed to, like, there's a notice that you won't be allowed to get extra family members even, like if someone's coming in. Like it's cordoned off that much. So that's the thing, and I realize how important that bit is,
of course,
and just not just in like COVID, under the COVID scenario, I think in our day-to-day lives, the importance of the orgasm, like instead of it's literally that marker, right? Like, which proves you are good in bed or someone else is good in bed, or whether you've had a good time with someone. So let's get into it.
Sure. Orgasms, is that what we're talking about? Yeah. Amazing. Where do we begin with this? I don't know. I right now feel like I have an unhealthy sexual relationship with myself. Like, for example, I know the next time I'm in therapy, I am going to talk about how my reliance on porn has increased considerably, and I feel like I'm chronically masturbating right now, like dick sore the next day kind of masturbation. You know what I mean? Either there's like 4 or 5 days where I'm feeling absolutely not sexual at all, or suddenly I'm like a fucking primate and anything happens and I'm like jerking off. But I also realized that the older I get, I feel I've had a very unhealthy relationship with orgasming lately. My reliance on porn has quadrupled, I feel, in this lockdown. And
do you think it's unhealthy or do you think it's normal at this point?
It's definitely unhealthy. I'll tell you why. Because the older I get, see, when you're a teenager and you're just about discovering masturbation and all, it's 100% sexual in nature. You know what I mean? But I feel I'm at a point where it's like mini shots for me, where sometimes I feel like I literally just jerked off because A, I was bored, and B, because I was just chasing a quick dopamine shot. You know what I mean? You know that certain clarity you have for like 5 minutes after orgasming? I feel like somewhere in an unhealthy way, I have started just chasing that. It's not sexual for me. It's just a distraction. Because why else would I suddenly jerk off 4 times a day? You know what I mean? I'm fucking 35 now. You know, like if this was when Titanic had just released in 1995, I would understand. But there is no need for me to jerk off 4 to 5 times a day right now.
And again, I'm not saying, I you know, that's the thing. Like, I would have maybe agreed with you at any other given point of time, but at a time like this, what else? I mean, what is the other option?
There are tons of other options. You know, again, I know, if the question is, why do I feel it is unhealthy what I'm doing? I can't even justify it. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, okay, if it's not unhealthy, then I can't be on the other spectrum saying, oh, shut up, Farad. This is perfectly normal and healthy. I can't get myself to do that. It's just because I'm just voluntarily, I just pop Twitter open. And of course, we've discussed this. You're a Twitter porn person too, right?
No, not at all.
No. You are not. Sorry.
I'm not. Yeah, that's what
But, you know, I'm on Twitter. Boom. Suddenly, I'm down the rabbit hole. Like, it starts off with someone's mild boner showing through their pants. And within 30 seconds, I am on extreme internal breeding cum dump orgy. You know what I mean? And next thing you know, I just jerk off. And then I just feel empty. You know what I mean? I don't feel like...
The reason why you're calling it unhealthy, is it because your over reliance on it comes from the sense of control that it is going to, like, this orgasm is more assured?
I have tried to analyze this, and trust me, every addiction I've had in my life, Shunetro, the only time I realized it was a problem when I started realizing that I do it when I'm bored. For example, when I was smoking weed or hash a lot in my life, I was smoking a lot. I was smoking like 10 joints a day. I know that 8 of those joints were just because I was bored, you know, whether it was cigarettes. If I'm bored, I'll light a cigarette. I was one of those people. Like, if I get bored and suddenly I fill that boredom void with something, I know I start seeing it as a problem. And I'm starting to see masturbation fall under that. Again, I'm making it sound a little larger than it is, for sure. There is a bit of exaggeration, because it's not like, every day I'm like fucking like a baboon, just, you know, busting a nut all over the place. But it's just that sometimes I'm like, why? You know, kya hoga? And it's not, right now, you know, we are all deprived of human touch. You know what I mean? So, like you just said earlier in this conversation, that it's not the same. So then why am I even partaking in this, if it's not the same, you know? Because right now I crave human touch. I just want to smell the nape of someone's neck while I cuddle with them. I just want to run my hand through someone's hair, You know what I mean? I'm there right now.
Yeah.
So then when I masturbate, I just feel like, oh, kya hai ye? Kyun? Yeah, I don't know. So I don't know if I'm dealing with it well. Again, pandemic plus lockdown plus isolation plus sexual health. I don't know how I'm dealing with these four things together, but I know other people are definitely like, what are you doing? How are you dealing with all of this?
I mean, I've decided like not to, I know it's easier said than done for a lot of people, but it's very important. And that's one of the things that I kind of got clarity on, you know, more I spoke to my shrink, more I spoke to people. It's very important not to almost slot some out of the normal behavior as out of normal and problematic, because things are out of normal. So it's only natural that you'll, like, I'm jerking off way more than you would usually jerk off. And so it's like, what my question is, what else do you suppose I do? What else do you expect me to do? So, I mean, at the end of the day, it is an orgasm is important, and it is a very, 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 you know, necessary part of my life and my feeling good and my pheromones and all of that. So if I'm not, like, it's as important as just, you know, feeling that rush after just that little bit of a workout in the morning nowadays. And if I don't feel that, I would feel much worse. So it's okay not to feel like, you know, bad about it. And, you know, things are different. So what else are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know, but I have to come to one thing that, you know, a lot of people have sort of, you know, it's like this murky sort of territory to go around. But when it comes to orgasms, do you prefer, do you think there are any negatives attached to not having an orgasm, but like the way we perceive orgasms in today's day and age, especially with the top bottom, you know, dichotomy, for example, like, you know, there is one person, sometimes there is one person who's, you know, just meant to kind of get someone somewhere, or there's one person who's supposed to do all the work before and make sure, you know, the other person pounds away. Like there is usually this sense of, you know, oh, responsibility of the orgasm rests on someone. Yeah. Do you think that's healthy?
You know, the funny thing is what you just said years ago, and I feel this might be the most problematic thing Osho said about sexuality, right? Osho used to always say that he's very okay with homosexuality. Sorry, not sexuality. Homosexuality. He was very pro-homosexuality. But he always had this one caveat he used to talk about, that homosexual sex is always masturbatory. Because in his whole thing was, and in a way, I found that problematic. Why? Because as I grew up, I found out that, no, you both can achieve an orgasm together. It's not like, oh, one... Although even the other side does happen a lot, where, oh, one person's come and now you're just stuck in this deranged time where you're like suddenly giving them an aggressive hand job, waiting for them to come, and you're sucking them and your fucking Adam's apple is hurting, but they won't come. You know what I mean? It does go in that zone. So in that sense, I get why it's like masturbatory again. But... no, I don't find, I personally don't feel like there's anything problematic about it, because I'm one of those, I'm not one of those tops who, like, the moment I come, I'm like, oh, figure it out. You know what I mean? In fact, sometimes I've met, have you ever met like super bottoms who don't want to come ever? You know what I mean? They just
A lot of times.
In fact, so I like a lot of those.
Yeah, I like giving. Like, I like, you know, that sometimes I also feel like I prefer sex with women, because it's I love the art, like, you know, the process of giving to a woman, you know, like it's far more interesting than it is with a guy, you know.
It's a plug socket situation.
No, not in terms of penile giving, like, you know, oral giving, like, yeah, not penile giving. I have a major issue with the
limited point of view. Yeah.
Yes, that's what, like, yeah. This top bottom, you know, you
got it.
Orgasm will come from penis hitting up and anus.
Yeah.
You know, that is what I have a problem with. Like, I have, because... Like, I've said this before, I identify as a side, like, not even worse. I identify as a side. Sure, I'll like, there are days when I like taking on the dominant zone. There are days, you know, more often than not, but there are days when I like,
you know, we should bookmark this, by the way, because, you know, the number of messages I get that for you, like, so many people message me to say, I'm so happy that Shunetra spoke about being a side, because I'm a side. I totally relate. We should do an entire episode about that at some
point. Oh, yeah. But like, why not?
Go on.
Yeah. So, you know, because of that, I feel like, you know, and the one of the things about being a side is, it is literally climaxing together. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. That's essentially. And that's what brought me to, there is a sense of, and again, in all my relationships, what I've loved is my relationships that have been successful are the ones where there has been equity. There is a sense of, oh, you and I are equals. Mm-hmm. And there is no sense of dominance and like submission, being a dom or a sub. Even when it comes to the orgasm, when there is a sense of equity, that's what like thrills me. So... And I've only, like, that pleasure, that absolute pleasure, I've only gotten, not only, but like in majority, I've gotten it when I've performed as a side. And it's so weird, because most of my most pleasurable orgasms have been when there isn't penetration. You know what I mean? And it's so weird because, you know, I'd say this to people and people would say, yeah, you're just like, you know, you're so weird. Yeah. And that's why for the longest time, I kind of kept it under the covers. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to talk about it. You want me to fuck you, I'll fuck you.
No, I can imagine why it's such a tough thing to talk about, because the history itself, like right from Adam and Eve, is, oh, that's how you procreate. So yeah, I guess it's a very difficult thing to move away from. This whole, oh, you're supposed to enter another person to procreate.
Yeah. No, and this whole idea of, I mean, sure, you know, there are situations where both people can be getting joy. But my thing is, there are days when I don't like to be the dominant one and I do not get any joy out of like bottoming. I just don't. I've tried it multiple times. So then this is what really works for me. So, so then what do you do? You know, at the end of the day, the orgasm, it's like religion, you know, plugging in the previous episode, but it's like religion where it's something that gives you like, you know, clarity and that gives you, you know, identifying with what you like, it gives you clarity. But when you let it rule your life, that's when it starts becoming, a problem, because then there are do's and don'ts that you start following and, you know, whatnot.
Yeah.
No, I'm so happy we are broaching this particular topic, because a lot of times, you know, when I think about my next relationship, I think about one of the things that was wrong with my previous relationship, and it was exactly this. What had happened was, in my previous relationship, I did not have the serenity to understand that, hey, preferences change. And my boyfriend also did not understand that. So a lot of times, after like 2 years of dating, what had started happening was he was feeling like a top all the time. And I was feeling like a top at the same time. And suddenly we both want to fuck the other person, but they are not feeling it at all. And now when I look back, I feel like, oh, in my next relationship, I know it's not about this top-bottom bullshit anymore. Literally, it's just about, hey, fucking sit across the room and jerk off if you want to. While I jerk off in this corner of the room, I don't fucking care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a million ways to reach the same destination, basically.
That's the thing, you know?
Fucking do this. Dude, but can I tell you something? Immediate ex, but I had one ex who could hands-free come, if you know what I'm talking about. Like, he could hands-free orgasm. And that was a great arrangement. That time I was like, fuck you, Osho. Like, you know, because he could come hands-free, and that was my favorite thing. Like, it's just because I've had sex with tons of girls. And one thing, if I had to say, I would miss in all my homosexual sex is that, you know, where we both like work to a point where I know her legs are fucking starting to tremble, I'm fucking starting to shudder, and then you boom, melt into each other.
You know
what I mean? A lot of times with gay sex, I was starting to feel like, oh shit, okay, I've come, now I have to like
that's what I get when you know, as a side, like, exactly that experience of skin to skin and like, you know, coming together and just like, you know, like holding each other tight at that point of time. And and that's what people, a lot of people don't understand. They still think, oh, it's supposed to be, you know, me first and then the next person and, you know, so on and so forth.
I got a random question for you. So if we are talking about non-sexual orgasms, what are the things off the top of your head that can get you there? Apart from just like being aside and skin to skin or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, are there other things? Like, for example, for me, food play is a big one. I
used to like food play, and then I don't know, OCD crept in, and then I
mera bedsheet ganda ho gaya.
And I just can't do it anymore. I think a sense of a little bit of control, like a little bit of, you know, roughing up is something that that really like gets me there. Yeah, like when someone wants to be roughed up a little bit. And I've realized that, you know, like I've said this before, dirty talk surely out. But I think that sense of like, you know, joking and like, you know, a little bit of that.
Yeah.
A little
roughly, rough and tumble. I get it.
Yes, yeah. I think that kind of that gets me like on like, you know, no one's business.
What about
you?
I was always a bit of a voyeur like that. Voyeuristic. Like where I know, maybe that's why I love amateur porn so much. I feel like, you know, I'm watching two regular people, not porn stars, in their living room have sex. I don't know. So I've always been a voyeur and I have partaken in the past in someone's watching type of like sex where I literally don't want to have sex. I just want to go and watch maybe a couple have sex or maybe two people. Like I've done that in the past and it really gets my rocks off. I don't ejaculate at all while I'm there. I just sit in a corner. I watch everything there is to see and then I come home and I tug away. I go for it. So that's a big one. I don't know. Again, I'm thinking of funny things also. A lot of times, I don't know. This is so unrelated. But I feel my anus twitch when I see good food porn videos. I don't know if that happens. I'm not even kidding.
Sexually, I don't get sexually stimulated. But, okay, so the idea of... again, this is going to sound so weird... But the idea of, you know, having sex when everything in my house is in order and like clean and I'm like, you know, all my bottles of water are like filled up and in the fridge and cooking is done. Yeah. Like that sense of, oh, like post having everything in order. Like I realized I only masturbate after I have sorted things out. And I think that's,
basically, somewhere in your head, everything is okay, and
it's
now
like a reward.
The icing on this cake is going to be icing.
Yeah, that's what. Like if I feel that, I think I it kind of makes me feel like good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
No, I'm a vagrant like that. Oh my god, I'm not even vagrant. What am I saying? Like a vagabond. I'm like anide. But
tell me about
before you ask me, tell me something. Do you feel that you had every kind of orgasm? Like you know you won't have any different kind of orgasm. I don't know why I'm not very good at asking questions today, but you get what I'm saying? I feel like
of course
see,
not.
If I've masturbated
so much to explore. Like I constantly keep looking for things to, you know, get me there. Sure. For example, I like a couple of months prior to the lockdown, I'd got this like really amazing prostate simulator, and then I got like an ultra version of that, which rotates and twitches.
Up.
And heats up and vibrates and you can control it like, you know, with a button. So it's up your butt and then you can go like, you know, turbo and then like slow and then like, you know, just like boosts like zoop.
Sometimes I worry if I got a state of the art dildo or something, I would
just depend on that.
Yeah, like, hey, I got a battery operated boyfriend. That's it.
One of my fuck buddies, you know, he's so sweet. He keeps telling me, he was asking me, like, I'd used one of these. I have one for obviously others and one for myself. So I'd used that on him, and then he got so excited. He said, send me the link. I want it for myself. And when it came, suddenly I get a message from him. He says, hey, my boyfriend has come. So I'm like, what? Okay. So, and then I realize he's talking about, the prostate massager.
Yeah,
but I to answer your question, I think, you know, there's always so many more like ways, you know. I remember ages back, I used to love reading porn. I don't do that too much now. But I used to love reading porn because somehow it used to, like, you know, there was this website called Nifty.
We've spoken about this.
Oh no, we haven't.
Yes, we have, because you are the only other person I know who used to use Nifty.
I have never spoken about Nifty with you. Okay. So, sure. You know, there used to be these, you know, beautiful...
Camping.
Like different things. Yeah, and I used to, like, you know, it's like different strokes for different weeks. Like, and I remember... And I've tried a lot of shit from there, which have not been good. For example, a lot of people get off, you know, stimulating the urethra, like, you know.
I know, sound. Dude,
oh my
please.
God.
Can I tell you something? What? I'm chatting with someone right now in life, and he's the one, he's the first person I met who I did not know this. It's called sounding. Did you know that?
No.
Okay, so I did not know that until very recently. I started chatting with a person and he told me he's into sounding, and I'm like, what's that? And he's like, oh, I like putting things in my penis. And I've tried it.
The sound of it sounded quite interesting. I tried it and I could not pee straight for a couple of days. Like, I was just like so painful? I'm very... Yeah, it was. I don't know. I scratched it some way, and I don't know. So here's the thing. I'm a very curious person when it comes to my body and when it comes to orgasm. So I constantly keep looking for stuff to newer ways to stimulate myself. So I feel like there's always new ways, and that kind of keeps me going. You know, I don't ever want to get to a point where I feel, this is it. I think I've done it all. You know?
I guess I'm feeling like that with this done it all thing, because in solo exploration, apart from sounding, I think I've tried everything. You know, I'm a serial edger. I'm very vocal about it. I edge a lot. So much so, I don't know if you saw my Instagram story last night, but I came in my own eye again. I'm the king of ejaculating in my own eye. It's the worst feeling. but what was I saying? No. So apart from sounding, trust me, I have a dildo myself. So sometimes I go to town with that. I edge, I masturbate, like literally self solo isme. I've tried everything, but now whatever new things I want to try and explore, it can only happen. Okay, I know in reality it can't only happen when another person comes in my life, because where's the Atmanirbharta in that? I feel like, I have hit some sort of a sexual slump when it comes to me just being with me. And I don't know how long it'll take for me to...
Got it.
I don't know. It's just, I feel like I've hit a bit of a slump orgasmically in life right now. But again, I'm not complaining, because there is...
But can you imagine how amazing like sex is going to be once things are back? Like, oh my God.
Is it?
I don't know. You know me, I'm kind of an eternal optimist. I can't wait for my first sexual escapade after things
I feel like I will be a little neurotic. With even after this blowing over, because now it's going to be like, what if this person has coronavirus and what?
Here's the thing. What are the chances that we possibly had corona and already got in, like, your...
You know, my roommates say this, both my flatmates, both of them say this, we might have already had it, we don't know, and all of that.
I genuinely, God knows, because I'll tell you what happened with me just before the lockdown, okay? I slept with someone, I got a cold from that person, and that's exactly when, you know, things kind of got like, cuckoo, like, you know, contagion level, paranormal, paranoid city. And for the first few days, I was coughing and, you know, I was wheezing. I genuinely, paranoid. I don't know. I mean, I obviously at that point of time, I was like, nahi, ye to nahi. But who knows? Maybe I...
So this is one of the things I floated with my shrink when I spoke to him over the phone. Like, hey, what's to say that I don't already have it? He's like, look, either ignorance is bliss right now, like you have it and you don't give a shit, or you have it and you deal with it. These are your two options. There's no point mulling over it.
Yeah, I've come to a point where I feel like, obviously it's important not to be irresponsible and go out and like, you know, like court it. That's stupid. But yeah. also, we can't be living a life where we, like, it's going to be like cold, you know. It'll be, and I'm not talking about, it's as simple as cold. I'm saying it's going to be as common as cold, I feel. If that is what that reality is going to be, then we just have to be careful and still continue with our lives. We can't get to a point where
but while it's fresh, it might be a little tough to do that. And again, to go back to your original question, how do I feel the first sex is going to be after the lockdown? On one level, I feel that it's going to be just the same. You know, like nothing what's changed, you know. On another level, sometimes when I'm at peak horny, like I'm like, oh my God, I feel like, you know, usually here's the deal. When I'm topping, I'm a very patient top, you know, because I have bottomed a lot. So I know what makes good sex. You know what I mean? And there's no place for discomfort. There's no place for like, oh my God, I'm going to shot all over your dick. I don't want all of that. So I am slow. I rim for like, till the boy's like,
oh my God,
You know how long have you been rimming me? I rim till the person gapes. Let's just, I'm being crass, but I'm just trying to give my experience to you guys. So I'm one of those people, but lately when I think about it, I feel like I'll be one of those, I just want to ram it in, I just want to jam my fucking fingers inside, you know, like it goes there, my brain. So on that level, I don't know if that is what passion is or it's not, or you know, but I sometimes feel like that's how I'm going to be. And secondly, again, this whole lockdown thing has messed with my preferences all over again, because I just as much want to get fucked so badly. Like I
know what you mean.
I want a leg up my fucking ass. I don't want your fucking dick. I put your leg up. Just step in. Step inside me.
Like, you know what I mean? Okay. So once again, this is so weird. And I love being this person who discovers new things I like. And randomly, a couple of years back, I was checking porn out, and I was checking fisting videos out, and then there was this guy who was getting fisted by an amputee's leg.
Oh my God.
And I was like, A, that's weird, but I was so turned on. And again, I'm not going to try and say, I'm not going to try and fetishize someone's disability.
But oh my God, no. You know, when I was growing up, my dad used to have letters to Penthouse, speaking of Literotica. And you remember letters to Penthouse?
Sweetie, I grew up in Ranchi. The only letters I got were
from pen pals.
From pen pals. Okay. And so a lot of them were imaginary. So,
but you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so letters to Penthouse is basically letters written to Penthouse magazine, the porn magazine. It was letters written. And what they would do is, every year they would publish a letters to Penthouse, which was just sex stories of different people. And of course, it had different categories in like Nifty. It used to have different categories. And letters to Penthouse 1 to 6 had like basic categories, which was boy on boy action, outdoors, someone's watching, those kind of. And then within that category, you'd have 5-6 stories. Then after Letters to Penthouse 7 or 8, things started getting crazy. Like, it started veering into fisting. Like, 5-6 stories about fisting. Then it became amputee was an entire category on its own. So, no. It's not like... in fact, I feel, while you were saying the amputee thing, I was like, who on the entire IBM network talks about the shit that we talk about?
We talk about amputee. I mean, if anything, I think it's very sex positive, because I'm not trying to glorify ourselves, but... But hey,
nobody said the sentence and nobody's put their leg up someone's butt on any other podcast apart from KBCD. I'm so happy about that.
Yeah, like talk about firsts and talk about milestones.
Right. Okay, if you shut your eyes, is there this one orgasm in your past that you're like, that was the best orgasm I had? Is there? You don't have to remember it. It's okay.
I mean, it's not the best, but it was one experience which was a very unexpected like threesome that I'd had with a very close friend and another, another who's now a friend who was couch surfing. And imagine, this is couch surfing. So it's
oh my god.
So this is like 2012. And I was studying in Pune, and I was visiting my friend in Bombay. So I was visiting, and then this other friend was staying with him at that point of time, visiting India. And we were watching Sweeney Todd, I remember. And whose place I was staying at for the weekend, he and I used to keep hooking up. So we were all on the couch, and I was stroking his hand throughout, and I didn't realize that it wasn't his hand; it was the other person's hand. And then it just started, like it just was like all three of us, and we didn't even like have a conversation about him being gay. Like the only inclination, it was a pretty big inclination, was only weeks prior Glee had piloted. So he had spoken, he was talking about how amazing Glee is as a show. And I was like, okay, if someone likes a Ryan Murphy show, he's got to have some queerness. Oh, but like, I was like, you know, I've been wrong in the past. So actually I hadn't been wrong in the past ever. So so I think that unexpectedness, that sense of, oh my God, something unexpected happened, is what I crave for when it comes to, you know, orgasms. Because a large part of it I've already seen. Even the first time I not had sex, but had an orgasm was while I was like making out and going to town with the person I would end up being, you know, in my first relationship with. We were just like making out and rubbing up, you know, against each other. And I came, and I didn't know what it was. No one had taught me what it was. I didn't know that that is an orgasm. And that unexpected, like, oh my God, like, you know, that blackout that you have is I still like, you know, because now I know that this is coming, right? Like, I know that this is on the horizon. I think it would be great to kind of feel like, I don't know what's coming, you know?
Sure.
Like, when was the last time you had something for the first time? You did something for the first time. It's like that.
Like, exactly. You know, that's what I was trying to say. Like, sometimes I feel like any other high is an orgasm. Something you try to just chase or emulate the first one. You know, like any cigarette or any heroin dose or whatever you did for the first time. Is it like, because in my experience, if I had to talk of, I felt like the best orgasm I ever had, I felt like I was dying, like in a good way. Like, this is it. I'm okay if I fucking die right now. And again, I don't need to be crass. It was the first and only time
in my life that I came hands-free. It was one of the first, like, times I was in love with a boy. And so a lot of factors played into it. You know, that's the thing. A lot of times I'm so vocal about, like, oh my God, I love, like, if I'm bottoming, right? I don't want a fucking piddly dick. I'm a total size queen like that. If I'm bottoming, I want dong. I don't want like is it in yet type wise. I want a fucking thumbs up bottle of my ass. A lot of times I get messages that, it hurts so much, it this so much. And so many times I find myself telling people, yeah, sure, you have your douching and you have your going slow and lube and everything. But sometimes being in love is such a big factor, right? When you bottom and you're in love with the person that you're bottoming for, it is, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not making this shit up or imagining it myself. It's so much easier when you want the fucking person inside.
Yeah. No, so absolutely.
The first time I remember I came hands-free, it was with a person I was in a relationship with. It was the first time I was barebacking. It was the first time, a lot of things were for the first time. And I came hands-free, and trust me, in that moment, I felt, this is it. I'm about to die. It was crazy. Like, yeah, toe curling and all of that. But I literally felt my eyes fucking roll back in my head. My heart was just ready to pop through my fucking ribcage and be like, ta-da. Like, it was crazy. And I feel like a lot of times it was that's the orgasm that I masturbate to sometimes. Does that make sense?
You know what I mean? Of course.
Like,
yeah.
A lot of times when I'm like, you know, there are times where you are joking off and you're like, oh, can't come. Oh, I'm not getting the groove right. And then that's my SOS go-to memory. Like, okay, now I have to access that memory if I need to come right now. It was that. And it is ridiculous that sometimes an orgasm can be that. You know what
Got
I mean?
It. Yeah, like, no, I completely get that, because I don't like just like jerking off, like, you know, just like, ho gaya. It's like an experience.
Do you make that sound, Shanendra? Do you make that sound? Like Peter Griffin.
I'm not
Griffin
Peter Griffin. Oh my God, I was so happy that Disney Hotstar has family
I saw it.
I've just been marathoning on, you know, the first season.
But it's not funny. That's the thing. It's not funny anymore. Thing, right?
Why is it so slow? Why do they talk so softly and slowly the first season? Season, right? I mean, I don't remember it as that.
Like, anyway. I'm not talking about the first seasons. I started Peaches. I started with season 18. Okay.
You know, I started first season, and the first season, if you start, yeah, it's like everyone's so like calm. You know how like now everyone's on like, you know, cocaine. Like, hey, hey, Meg, hey, hey.
Yeah.
Time, the voice cast was so like low energy.
Wow, that's your second good impression from Family Guy. That sounded like Quagmire.
Hey, Meg.
That sounded like, oh my God, you did a good Peter Griffin and a good Lewis, Quagmire.
Lewis, Lewis. Mama. Anyway, coming back to, my orgasms have to be, like, I'm a little high maintenance when it comes to that. It's like I have to have my bed set, and like I have to feel like, you know, the room is like nice, and I have to feel like I'm in a situation. Like, it's not just watching. Sometimes I like just going with my imagination. Like, you know, just let that run.
You know, it's so funny. This is the second time you're saying this, where you want everything to be prim and proper. But I don't know if you've seen this recent meme emerge, which is, it's a guy in a very messy room. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, so there's a meme doing the rounds, and there are multiple variations of it, but I totally relate to that, Shanendra. Trust me, I'm not condoning messy rooms, but some of the best sex I've had is when I've ended up in some fucking boy's hostel or someone's room.
I cannot.
No, I don't know why, but I'm just saying, it hits different when that's the situation.
I just cannot. Like, it just, you know, it's like I won't get an erection.
I'm not saying like, are wahan achar pada hai. I'm not saying that gross.
I have like, it's controlled to a point of like, in the past, in my 8 years of being in Bombay, I've had sex with two people, not in my house.
Okay.
Only two people. Yeah. And both of them, I was in a relationship with.
That is such a thing, Shanendra. I feel like that's another thing that's problematic. I'm never willing to have sex in someone's house.
I just can't.
And it's so much so that it's sometimes detrimental to my sex life. Like, so many times, you must have hit those conversations too, where you are like, hey, you come to my place, and then that person's like, no, you come to mine, and you come, and then suddenly it becomes like a passive aggressive thing. Like, what the fuck? Why can't you come?
So I've faced it on the surface, but more often than not, I always tell people that, you know, I live completely alone. And because I live completely alone, I prefer like complete privacy, and let's make an evening out of it, you know?
So
that has worked in my favor. In the last 8 years, just those two people. And one was not even in Bombay. Like, one was like, I went over, actually three, one. Yeah. One was in Bangalore, and like a really old friend. But I mean, what are you supposed to do? Buy a house in Bangalore and then have sex? So literally, I've just had sex in three people's houses, and which was not my own. Like, where it wasn't my space.
Oh my God, that's three more than me, by the way. I have not had sex outside of my house in the past 2 years, I think, almost. And not that it's a competition, it's just sometimes even, I don't know, it's just, I feel so off my game in some way, or not off my game. I'll give
there
you an
are
example.
A lot of things, like I have almost a regime to kind of, you know, get ready, like, you know, empty my colon out, like, you know.
Sure. Oh my
like,
God.
And I don't want to do that in someone's place. Like, you know, I like feeling like, you know, I have all the things in front of me. For example, I like my kind of lube. I like my poppers. I like, you know, my sex toys. And I'm not going to carry it around everywhere, you know.
Like,
So
I'm one of those people who, and this I feel bad about, but once my friend, of course, because everybody raves about hotel sex. Like, oh my God, hotel sex is the best.
I've done that. But again, it has to be my room. Like, I never...
Oh,
I never
okay. You wouldn't go to someone's...
else's room. Like, it's my room that it has to happen.
Okay. No. And someone has to come to your room.
Yeah.
And then come again. Okay. Yeah, I've just once had hotel sex and I got the appeal.
I love hotel sex. I love hotel sex.
My favorite thing more than the sex and all of that was being able to order stuff to the door. Like, that was the best thing.
Also, like bathtubs and like the bed. Like, the bed is like soft as bark, like thinking. Yeah.
What is this?
Speaking of
what
orgasms, is going on?
We've gone all over the place, but in a good way. Today we've gone all over touch points.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Coming back to this whole thing of, you know, this search for an orgasm, does this give you, like, is it giving you anxiety? Is it giving you any kind of, like...
Not really, no. I am surprised by myself constantly because here's the deal. Every time, you know, I'm out lately. If someone, in the start only, the moment the lockdown happened, I was finding it irritating when people are like, I'm so bored, I'm so horny. I'm like, shut the fuck up, man. Like,
and what? Have like, a what personality. Are you gonna do about it?
Get a fucking personality. Yeah. You know what I mean? Don't be so fucking plain and boring. You know what I mean? Tell me, don't tell me like, oh, today I fucking jumped on a trampoline. No, I don't want to hear amazing things. Just tell me how, like, you looked at, okay, this sounds fucking stupid now that I'm about to say, but tell me basic things in a nice way. You know, how were, did you find a new song? Did you read a passage in some book that you liked? Are you watching some TV show? Tell me something. Don't just limit a conversation by, I'm bored. After that, what do I say? Am I?
Let's not talk.
You know, and the thing is, the more the time goes by, I am starting to feel like, oh, I am horny. I am bored. You know what I mean? Again, but for me, it's surface level because I'm extremely good with being alone. I'm extremely good with keeping myself entertained and largely I'm not complaining. But the thing is, first of all, if I am prowling on Grindr or Tinder, there's a good chance I'm just there because either I just want to fucking dirty chat or sex chat, or I don't want to like get to know you in this lockdown because I did not want to get to know you when there was no fucking pandemic.
So,
you know what I mean? And having said that, I have my usual friends who, like, I'm not saying friends, but I have a set of people who I've chatted with who I fucking want to date after this lockdown ends. Fuck alone, you know, like, oh, get to know and all of that. I just straight up want to get into a relationship because I've been having that level of conversation during the pandemic with real people who I know are great people and I want to get to know them more and maybe explore sexually, relationship-wise things with them. So, when I'm on these chapri sites and all, I don't fucking care, you know? So, that's the thing. When I'm online and suddenly I find if someone asks me, how are you doing? And I'm about to type, I'm horny. The thing I hate about other people, I find myself being guilty of the same thing. You know what I mean? So, in that sense, it's irritating me a bit. Like, that's the only irritant in my entire, am I feeling anything sexually in this lockdown? Yeah, because I am hypersexual right now. I am hypersexual.
Of course,
So much so that I'm literally, you know, like, are there days where you, I don't know what your count is, but there are days where, oh, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but sometimes you've come 3 times in a day and then the 4th time you're like, I just came nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know I kind of keep it to a point where I, where I'm still getting pleasure from it, you know.
Like, exactly. Mine is not pleasure right now. Mine is just to get some weird... Again, I called it a dopamine shot. It's a quick fix. It's like a hit of poppers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just want
that quick rush, that quick afterglow, and I'm done. Until 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, see you again, you know? So, again, I'm just not going to make too much. If your question is, how am I dealing with it? I'm trying to not make too much sense out of it.
Of course. Yeah, I think
whether I'm jerking off a lot, whether I'm watching too much porn, whether I'm this, I might feel those things, but you know what? It's okay. Like, chalta hai, like, fuck it. You know? And once this whole thing is over, and God forbid our lives go without another fucking pandemic or anything, I don't know when this time will come back. So, why not? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if people will laugh about this after 10, 20 years, but we all will look back and we'll think about this time where we were like all under house arrest. You know what I mean? And that's how I'm seeing it zoomed out at least. Mm. You are obviously, you sound like you're dealing with this very well.
I wouldn't say very well, but like I'm making my, like, it's important to make my peace with it. So it's it's very important to accept a certain reality in front of you.
In fact, the other day I was thinking that,
let's say this got really dystopian, right? Like suddenly more strains of this fucking virus keep coming out, and this is our life for the rest of our lives. Yeah, just imagine, okay? I don't mean to make this sound like a horror story, but then would our morality go out the window? Like, then would it be like, hey, you know what? Fuck this self-isolation shit. I'm going to go fuck someone.
I mean, yeah.
Because I've had this
It's not right, but like we were talking about this like a couple of days back. I was chatting with, you know, this fuck buddy, and we were just talking about, I started talking about, oh my God, like, you know, I want to get, like, I want to bear back. And then I like reined myself in and I was like, this is what, like, why have you quarantined just to trade it off with another? But yeah, like, I don't know.
Act on it in another way, you mean? Like, in your mind,
And for me, like, I don't know if this continues like for much, much longer.
Yeah.
I'm scared to see what that'll end up. What that'll end up, you know, turning us.
Doing to all of us. Because this is an argument I literally had with my flatmate. He has hooked up twice in this lockdown. You know what I mean? And it pissed me off at first because you are putting us at danger. On another level, I get irritated with myself that why the fuck are you being such an uncle about this? He wants to have sex, let him have sex. You know what I mean? And I go to vegetable vendors. I've been going to the vet a lot. You know what I mean? So how can I stop him from going, right? But it did suddenly play this whole... Because he's one of those people who says annoying things like, I need sex once every 2 weeks, otherwise I start going mad. You know, he's one of those kind of guys. And of course, he's not been having sex every 2 weeks, but he has thrice actually, two or three times. And it's just been like, it really made me fucking think that, holy shit, okay, let me put myself, at what point would I suddenly throw my moral? Like today, if fucking Uddhav Thackeray comes on live and he's like, hey, you know what? 6 months, you can't get out. Will I suddenly mend or break the rules a bit and be like, you know what? Mere baju wali bit link hai, so it's okay. You know, will I do that? I do question it. I know it's pointless because I don't know if I'll act on it unless it's a reality. But like, it's something where my morality or my higher ground immediately goes out the window where I'm like,
I know what you mean.
So in a way, this whole thing teaches you a lot about who you are as an individual. Fuck, what the fuck is this? I guess that's that.
I think we've reached our climax.
Oh my God. Did you just entirely choose this episode so you could end with that
sentence? No, not at all. By the way, I just have to say, because you love food, I love food.
Yeah.
Do you follow the Bon Appetit channel?
Of course.
Have you been following their content? It's just the best content. Like, there is one channel. In the past month.
It's the amazing. Test kitchen?
No, yeah, like how the kind of pivot they've made into the quarantine is just amazing.
You know, like, what I was blown away by? I saw the world's first fashion show. Did you see that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It was stunning. Like, you know, I'm not a fashion boy and I'm not like, oh, clothes and all. But I watched that entire, I forget the name of the brand, but it was beautiful. Like, they figured out without models how to do the have the first online like ramp walk. It was stunning. Like the graphics or the CGI or whatever they did with it. But no man, my food fix, like my food porn fix right now has been TikTok. Oh my God.
No, but I would urge you to go check the what the Test Kitchen's been doing with their pro chefs over the past month. It's amazing stuff which I started doing with my friends. For example, there was this one episode where each of them had to find the oldest item in their fridge.
Okay.
And it's so interesting, right? It says so much about
you.
And so like my, like I do like Saturday, you know, or either Saturday or midweek evening chats with a couple of my college besties. So like evening is the best time because one of them is in Hong Kong. One of them is in this thing in Texas. So like that's the time when all of us are together. So we keep doing this, you know, like there's this entire episode on rating controversial foods, like, you know, raisins, for example, like 1 out of 100.
Sweet.
So it's super sweet. Like,
I'm going to check it out. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Because I watched Test Chicken, but now that you said it, I want to know what's the oldest thing in your fridge.
Let's do shit like that, like in the coming few episodes.
No, quickly, don't leave me on a cliffhanger like this. Just tell me one thing in your fridge, the oldest thing in your fridge. I really want to know.
Okay, so so here's the thing. There is, I had bought, you laugh at this. I bought like ages back and now I don't even eat pork anymore because I've cut all red meat out of my system. I had bought pork and I had kept the fat. Like, you know, the pork belly. I kept the fat because I like rendering it and, you know, letting that be the whatever. And oh, that's almost 4 years old. And it's in a dabba in my freezer and it has traveled from home to home.
Oh my gosh.
I just realized that I have something that I will never eat again. And I don't know whether I'll ever eat it again.
Four years is a bit crazy. Just thaw it and give it to some crows or cats or something.
But again, like that's what I think. That's the oldest thing in my fridge, and I have not thawed it. Just like been feeling like I had forgotten. I had completely forgotten that I don't do pork anymore. So
oh my God, you know, for me, it's I don't. Have you been to Sri Lanka?
No.
Okay, I've never been to Sri Lanka, but ages ago, one of my friends got me this thing called Kolu's masala. Okay, from Sri Lanka, they do basically ready to eat. Masalas, okay, and you know I'm a cook, so I hate ready-to-cook meals, but this is the most stunning fucking product ever made. They have like pepper crab masala, bizarre, crazy beef roast, black beef roast masala. My friend got some for me in 2015. They expired in 2007 and I still use them and it's fine. I have not no stomach upset, nothing, but I still use them because I asked her to get me like 50 packets and that's the oldest thing.
And on that note, I hope people are happy. I hope people find their little bit of happiness in whatever, you know, way they can. And we'll keep doing this.
I'm gonna jerk off right after this ends.
Good luck. Have a good one.
All right, you too, Shirendra. All right. Guys, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon. This is GabyCD. Next time, bye.